Our next guest points out that 10 of the past 13 Fed meetings have coincided with a move lower in the S&P 500. For more on the Fed and the markets, we have Interactive Brokers Chief Strategist Steve Stosnick with us now. Steve, it's always great to have you on. And in anticipation of that FOMC decision this afternoon, should investors be concerned about the market response to a tapering announcement that could potentially be coming today?
Good morning, Emily. Yes, I think that, you know, as Brian was just alluding to in the prior segment, the markets really are on tenterhooks around the time of a Fed meeting. And, you know, what I find fascinating and what you mentioned in the opener is that I look at the period from Tuesday afternoon through Friday, through the following Friday. And I've looked at them since COVID, which there have been 13 meetings. One of them was an emergency meeting. And 10 of those 13 periods, we've seen an average decline of 1.4%. And that number's actually improved because after last meeting, we went up by 2% plus. And so it's fascinating to me that in the course of a raging bull market, where more or less every three-day period, not every, where the majority of three-day periods has been higher, those 10 out of 13, it's a small sample size, but a very significant sample, are lower. It just tells me that the market seems to either get ahead of itself, ahead of a Fed meeting, or that there's something Powell says that spooks them for a couple of days before resuming the advance that we've seen more or less relentlessly for the last 18 months.
Steve, it bothers me. A lot of folks are coming on here talking that it's okay if Jerome Powell is not renominated as Fed chief, but he's the whole architect of that pandemic playbook. I mean, anybody who comes in next, anybody new, is going to have to unwind this and at the same time not spook the markets. Doesn't this concern you?
Oh, absolutely. You know, one of the truisms in the market is that every new Fed chair gets a test early on. The market provides them with some test and can go back. You know, in Bernanke's case, it was a global financial crisis. And in Yellen's case, it was a taper tantrum. In Powell's case, it wasn't as early in his term. But, you know, we did have some market hiccups in 2018 that he had to wrestle with. Don't forget that there was a repo crisis that was going on in September of 2019. Before, you know, which he had to solve, which actually put the market on very strong footing before COVID. And so there's all this is one of these situations that we can't dismiss the idea of, oh, yeah, we'll just change horses midstream and have no problems. There's usually something that comes up during the course of the early part of a new Fed governor's term. The markets test them.
Steve, when you look at what we've been getting from third quarter earnings results so far and company commentary around inflation and price increases and labor scarcities, what do you see as being the biggest risk right now as we head into 2022? And are some of these factors that companies are talking about going to be alleviated in the coming months?
Well, it's interesting because I actually found that, you know, with the obvious notable exceptions of Apple and Amazon, we didn't get a lot of talk about how supply chain issues were affecting companies that much. And despite the fact that there was only, you know, for more or less a 2% top line increase, there was an 8% bottom line increase across the board, more or less, I'm rounding. And I think that's fascinating. If you want to talk about the risk is, can you increase revenues and continue to increase margins at the same time? I think it's shown amazing ingenuity on behalf of U.S. companies, but that, you know, that's one of these things that how much can you squeeze the orange before you can't, you have to pass along some of those inefficiencies to customers or some of those inefficiencies come to bottom line. As of now, that's, I think, why the market has been so encouraged through this earnings season is on balance, and I dismiss the idea that 80% of the companies came in better than expectations. I think companies, you know, I think that's the benchmark. And I think they, Brian, you can correct me if I'm wrong about this, but I think companies sort of systematically guide analysts a penny or two lights that they can beat them by a penny, which is why Apple having met was kind of a downer. But that's, you know, Emily, going back to it, it's the ability to keep expanding margins. And whether or not there's top line revenue growth, those are going to be the questions that we have to face into next year.
No need for a correction there, Steve. You're on the mark like always. And You know, I was thinking back, you've been our lifeline to all this meme stock trading mania throughout 2021, and we seem to be having another pick back up in retail activity. You look at shares of Avis, you look at Bed Bath & Beyond this morning, and the stock is now up to 25%. One point up was up more than 50%. I mean, do you expect another surge in retail trading activity into year end? And if so, what is triggering that?
You know, I think right now it comes in waves, and I think it comes and sort of success breeds success. And I think, you know, when you have a healthy market environment, when there's money flowing readily, which we're still getting from the Fed, and even if they taper, there's still a lot of money sloshing around out there. It's a strategy that's working for people, and they keep doing it. You know, I was amazed when, you know, think about the week or what are the lost track of weeks, week and a half ago, when both BITO got listed and when DWAC announced its deal. BITO hasn't resonated with our customers. I'd like to think that it's because, you know, they're sophisticated enough to understand that, you know, buying a futures-based ETF, you know, has systemic underperformance. On the other hand, DWAC shot up to the top of our customer activity charts almost instantly. So these are resonating with people. People, for better or worse, have been conditioned to the idea that there's money to be made in these memes. And realistically, it's a behavior that's been reinforced many times. It ebbs and flows. It's unimaginable to keep that momentum up 24/7. But when you get a bout of success in a meme type of name, it sort of brings out other memes back into play. You know, is it rational that Avis went up, that Avis doubled because they said they might be buying some electric cars? You know, you can draw your own conclusions there. But what people see is Avis was up 100% and even more intraday. We're going to try to jump on that. We're going to try to jump on that moving train. And that behavior has been getting reinforced. And as long as it's reinforced, it's going to keep happening.
All right, Steve Sosnick, Chief Strategist for Interactive Brokers. Thank you so much for breaking that down for us.